Okay, now we are beginning the seventh parak of Maseches Kalayim. In order to just simply to begin the seventh parak, there is requires a short introduction about the concept of Havracha. So the concept of Havracha is actually very interesting. A lot of times, what they would do, what people who were planting a kerem, they would do, is they would take their vine. Let's say you have a vine that's growing, and they would actually sink that vine into the ground. And in such a way, they would bend it into the ground, in such a way where the vine would naturally extend it through the extend through the ground, and they would kind of pick it up, they would extract it from the soil in a different place, a few feet away from the original vine. So it's a little bit complicated, and exactly how this works, I really have no idea. But in essence, what Avracha really is a way of taking the edge of a vine and through sticking it through the ground, and having it come up from a different space. What you would actually be able to do is start an entirely new vine, because what would happen is this vine that once it comes out of the ground would actually take root in farther, you know, where it is under the ground, and would actually start an entirely new vine. Again, there's also part of the reason why they did this was because once you put the vine in the ground and you're extracting it from the soil, so the new vine growing from the soil in that space in the spot a few feet away from the we'll call this the mother vine. So that baby vine, when it starts to grow, it's actually going to get its nourishment from two different places. But it's going to obviously get nourishment from the soil that it's growing from, but it's also, because it's really just an extension from the mother vine, it's also going to get its nourishment from the mother vine. And it basically would just start to grow like a regular vine, which is pretty cool. And eventually what they would do is they would cut the new vine. The vine that extended underneath the ground, they would eventually cut that in order to just, you know, allow the new vine to grow once it started to grow on its own, and so on. So now the Mishnah is going to discuss the next couple of Mishnayos are going to discuss how Kalayim will affect vines that were grown through the process of Havracha. Okay, so Mishnah Aleph begins. Hamavrich es hagefen ba'aretz, if a person did havracha, so again, they extended their vine, they took the edge of a vine, they put it in the ground, and it came up somewhere else. So says the Mishnah, im ein afar al gaba shlosha tfachim, lo yavi zera aleha, afilu ivricha b'delas o b'silon. So says the Mishnah, the Mishnah is dealing with the following question. So we know that there's an entire space when a person is doing havracha, where the vine is underneath the ground for, you know, it depends on how many feet. It's under the ground for a few feet, and then only a few feet later, farther away from the vine, it's where the new vine will start to grow. So the question is, can one plant anything on top of the soil where the vine is growing underneath, underneath the ground? So that's the question, because the vine is not going to emerge. Let's imagine you have a vine. Like, imagine a vine is like a very long pole. So imagine that you stuck this pole underneath the ground in a sideways fashion, that the pole is really extending sideways underneath the ground, and then the pole will magically kind of come up and resurface, a few feet later. So the question is going to be, in all that area, in between the place where you put the pole, I guess in our case an actual vine, in the ground, and the place where the vine will emerge from the ground, is it mutter to plant something else there or not? So the Mishnah says that it's usur. One is not allowed to plant in that area unless there is at least 3 tefachim worth of soil on top of where the vine is underground. So if the vine is at least 3 tefachim underneath the ground, then it would be mutter to plant anything there. And we're not going to be concerned that the whatever new seeds you start planting there are going to end up merging with the actual vine itself and being a problem of kalayim. And the Mishnah actually says, and again, where it's less than 3 tefachim, where it's usher to do so, says the Mishnah, it's even usher to do this if you're planting, if even afilu hivricha b'delas o b'silon. What that means is, let's say for some scenarios they would do the following. When they would do havracha, they would actually bend the vine into the ground, into like either a gourd, or they would do it, or into like a pipe. Let's say it was like a clay pipe. That's how the Yerushalmi explains it. That the way they would do this, instead of just putting the vine into the ground straight, they would actually they would use a protective pipe, and that's how they would put it underneath the ground. So says the Mishnah, well, with a pipe around the vine, so maybe, there's no reason to be worried at all that if you plant something else there, that a new seed is going to actually grow into this pipe. Should we assume that a seed is going to be able to break through a pipe and actually mix together with the vine? So the Mishnah says, in fact, you do have to be concerned for such a thing, that it is really possible for a seed of any sort, that when it takes root, that the roots are going to actually intermingle with the vine, even though the vine is actually protected by a gourd or by a pipe. So it's still going to be asr. But says the Mishnah, hivricha b'sela, if when you're doing hafracha, you're putting the vine into the ground into a rock. So you have this big rock, let's say, and it's going to be and the vine is somehow going through this rock. So now instead of it being protected, it's underneath the ground and it's being protected not just by a clay pipe or by a gourd, but rather it's being protected by a rock. So then the Mishnah says, afal pi she'ein afar al gabe ela shalosh etzbos. It's going to be mutter lahavi zera aleh. So here the Mishnah says, well, the rock is going to do a much better job of protecting the vine than a pipe would. So therefore, says the Mishnah, as long as the vine is growing at least three etzbos, only 3 fingers worth of soil. Again, that's much less than 3 tefachim. 3 tefachim is a whole hand breadth, while an etzba is obviously only a finger. So the Mishnah is saying, even if the rock where the vine is growing in is only 3 etzbos underneath the soil, at least that deep, then it's going to be mutter to plant anything else on top of that, because the rock is going to protect, is not going to allow for any other seeds to take root, for their roots to extend into the vine. So that would be mutter. Okay. So then the last line of the Mishnah is actually presents an interesting scenario. The Mishnah says, Ha'arkuva shabagefen ein modudin la ela mina ikr hasheni. So another uniqueness about the process of havracha is that when a person would do havracha, so we said that the new vine would emerge from the soil a few feet away from the source, the mother vine, let's say. And so says the Mishnah that sometimes what would happen is when it would come out of the ground, it wouldn't necessarily grow in a straight line upwards, but rather sometimes when it would emerge from the ground, it would naturally bend downwards and naturally go back down towards the soil, and would kind of have a second growth. So it would emerge from the ground, it would then bend down towards the ground a little bit further away, and only then would it kind of start to grow upwards again. The reason why the Mishnah actually calls that the Arkuva is because this would actually look like it kind of looks like a knee. It's kind of like it comes out of the ground, then it kind of has a weird kind of bend to it down into the soil, and it kind of grows up from there. So basically the Mishnah is dealing with the following question. In such a scenario where you kind of have these two different places where this new vine is growing from. On the one end, it's coming out of the ground in a certain place, but it only appears to be coming out of the ground in a place farther, because after all, it came out of the ground, it bent downwards towards the ground again, and then only started to emerge there. So the Mishnah is dealing with, well, which place is considered the source of the vine? And in regards to the question of how far, when we say that you're not allowed to plant 6 tefachim from the source of the vine, which one is it? Is it from where it came out of the ground? Or it's from where it appears, or where it starts to emerge again after the bend? So says the Mishnah, Ein modin la ela min ha'ikr hasheni. So again, ha'akruva shebegeven, Ein modin la ela min ha'ikr hasheni. The Mishnah is saying that it actually refers, when this, it does this kind of weird bend, it's you measure the 6 tefachim from the second, the ikr hasheni means from that second bend, not from the original place where it came out of the ground, but actually from where it emerges upwards in that second place. But in fact, the Gemara and the Yerushalmi actually explains that this is only the case if you can't see the place where it came out of the ground. Because seemingly, logically, it would make a lot more sense that the actual source of the vine is where it comes out of the ground. Why should it be where it seems to emerge from the ground? So the Gemara explains that this Mishnah is only talking about where you can't see where it came out of the ground. So we only judge it based on where it appears to come out of the ground at that and on the bottom where that bend kind of starts to grow upwards. But where you can see where it actually came out of the ground, then we in fact would measure the 6 tefachim from where it actually came out of the ground. Okay, moving on to Mishnah Beis. So Mishnah Beis begins, Hamavrich shalosh gefanim v'yikareyem nirim. So here you have the following situation. You have basically 3 different vines, and from each of those 3 vines, you do havracha on each of them. So basically you have 3 mother vines, and that's in one row, and then you have a new row of all of the vines that you did havracha from those mother vines. So you have 3 mother vines, and then at a distance near them is 3 other vines that came from those 3 vines. So 3 mother vines and their 3 baby vines form 2 different rows, one of mother vines and one of baby vines. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, im yesh b'nei mi'arba amos vi'ad shmona, hari elu mitzarfos. So here's the question. So those vines, the question that we're dealing with is as follows. We know that, we've already learned before, that one of the requirements of a kerem, especially according to Beis Hillel anyways, is that you have to have at least 2 rows of vines. So here you have a scenario, you have a row of 3 vines, as part of a row of 3 vines, of mother vines, and you have another row of all the new vines that came out of the ground. So the Mishnah is dealing with the following question. Here's the theoretical question. Do those vines, well, especially while they're being, considering that they're being nourished from those mother vines, again, obviously we're assuming that we're talking about where they're still attached to the mother vines, and therefore they're getting their nourishment partially from the mother vines. So are those vines considered to be separate vines from the mother vines? Or are they considered to be partially, you know, really only, you know, a part of the mother vines? And the nafkamina would be whether or not we can consider the new row of the baby vines as to be a new row, completely new row of vines, forming a separate shura, in which case you would have two shuros, in which case you now have a kerem. So, or do we say that, you know, so again, the question is whether or not they're considered new vines or whether or not they're considered, you know, baby vines, and they're not considered new vines in relation to their mother vines. So is it or is it not considered to be two rows and therefore a kerem? So according to Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, he says, well, it depends. Im yesh b'neim me arba amos vi'ad shmona, hari elu mitzdarfos, v'im lav einon mitzdarfos. So he says it simply depends on the distance between the two rows. If there's at least, this is important, an important distinction, there has to be, he says, at least a four amos distance between the two rows of vines, and less than an eight amos distance between the two rows of vines. And if that's the case, then we say they're mitzdarfos, and that forms a kerem. Now the reason why, he says, now in terms of why it has to be less than eight amos distance is because if you have a distance of at least eight amos, then we can't call those two different shuros, they're too far away from each other, so then for sure that's not going to be a kerem. But in terms of why the distance between them has to be at least four amos, so Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok is saying that, well, four amos is the shear that we determine as to whether or not we consider the vines part of the mother vines or a separate row. So he says if they're four amos away, that's when we can say we have to look at them as being a separate row. So if they're between four and eight amos away, we're going to look at them as two separate rows, and therefore you're going to have yourself a kerem. But if it's not, meaning in either direction, if they're less than four amos or more than eight amos away from their mother vines, then you're not going to have a kerem. Okay, Mishnah goes on. Geven sheyavsha. So now you have a scenario where you have a dried out geffen. So the question is simply whether or not a dried out geffen is going to have any of the prohibitions of kelayim. Is it, you know, does it mitzdarif to form a shura? Can it, you know, be counted to form a kerem? Or even in the basic halacha of not planting within six tefachim of any geffen, does it have that halacha or not? So the Mishnah says asura ve'ena mikadeshes. So basically, the Mishnah seems to be saying that it really, ideally, one should not. It's usur to plant anywhere near it because, after all, as most of the Mefarshim explain, it looks pretty bad. It's not fundamentally usur because, listen, the vine is dried out. It's, you know, it's pretty much dead. It's not a real vine anymore. However, because of Maris Ayin, one should not plant near it. But because it's not really usur, because it's not really a vine anymore, Eina Mekadeshes, you cannot use that vine to form a kerem. You know, so if you did that, that wouldn't be a problem. It would not be usur b'hana. There would be no real fundamental problem of kilayim. But nonetheless, it's usur d'chatchila because of maras ayin. Says the Mishnah, Remeir Omer, another halacha, aft semer gefen usur v'eina mekadesh. Another example of something which is also asr l'chatchila, but b'di'evit, if one did this, there is no real, it's not mekadesh, it's not officially going to be kalayim, and it's going to become asr b'hana, and that's a scenario of planting near a cotton tree. So the Tiferes Yisrael explains that, basically he says actually that the Meremeir means is one can actually never plant near a cotton tree at all. So why is that? He says, well, a cotton tree is not actually a geffen, so why is it also to plant within, you know, again, this is referring to the distance of six tefachim. He says, why is it also to plant next to a cotton tree? A cotton tree is not a geffen. So the Tiferes Yisrael actually explains that what Meir means to say is similar to the previous halacha in the Mishnah, that a cotton tree happens to look very much like a geffen. It's not a geffen, but it looks like a geffen, and because of Maris Ayin, it's going to be also to plant near a cotton tree. But again, which makes a lot of sense, since it's not actually a geffen, if one did go ahead and plant, within the, you know, next, right underneath the cotton tree, you know, within six fachim, that's not actually going to be real kalayim, so it's not going to be mikadeshes. Okay. And then the end of the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok Omer Mishmo, Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok said in the name of Rabbi Meir, Af al gabi hagefen asur v'eino mikadesh. This is actually referring to the situation we spoke about in the previous Mishnah, where you have your havracha, and again, we were talking about the Mishnah in Mishnah Aleph, described the isur to plant anything on top of the soil, where underneath the soil, assuming that it's less than three tefachim deep, if there's a vine growing, you know, through havracha, there's a vine growing underneath the ground, three tefachim, the Mishnah said that it was usur to plant anything on top of that on top of that soil. So says Rabbi Elazar Bratzadik in the name of Rabbi Meir, that if one, in fact, in that scenario, went ahead and did plant, so he says that's also, it's Asr Lechatchila, but it's not going to be real Kilayim, and therefore it's not going to be Asr. It's not going to be Mekadesh. It's not going to be really Asr B'hana. It's not going to be real Kilayim. So the truth is, Halacha L'maisa, we actually do not paskin like Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Elazar Bratzadik, and in fact, we do assume that these things actually would, you know, again, Rabbi Meir was saying that it's usher to plant by a cotton tree. We don't pass him like that. We also don't pardon like passing Rabbi Elazar Bratzadik, who said that, you know, the isser of planting a gevin also is not going to become a kaddish. We actually don't pass him like either of those. Okay.